Okay? I will start off with an introduction of this sixth parsha, which is a very meaningful parsha to know it. Why Moshe Rabbeinu sinned and did not let us in, because of that, he didn't take us into the land of Israel, he didn't conquer it for us, and he remained out there, he was buried out there. And he has to wait until all of us are going to be awakened by Chris Hamesh's resurrection, the time he's going to come with us back into Israel. It was denied entry to Israel. As much he begged, as much he complained, as much he wanted it, it was denied. Why? Well, because he sinned. Why did he sin? God told him at the time when Miriam died, and because of Miriam, we had the well of the water. We drank water because of the merit of Miriam. So when Miriam passed away, the water disappeared. So we were thirsty, we came complaining. So Hashem says to him, take the stick and go to the thing and speak to the stone. And he went and he spoke. Nothing came out. So he hit the stone and then water came out. So Hashem says, because he had not sanctified me, he had not listened to me, he hid the stone instead of talking to the stone, therefore not coming into the land of Israel. You took out the Jewish people from Egypt to give them the conquering the land, but you're not going to make it. Somebody that's going to bring Yeshua is going to bring us into it. Well, that's what we learned. And that's a big puzzle. What is really, and there's a lot of commentaries, what was really the reason of the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu? We're not going to go into that. The Ramban says, and Ibn Ezra says, and there's many, there's 10 different explanations, what was the sin of Moshe? How come he did such a thing? But Lamai said, I would like to bring out something which is a very important fundamental question, that you see all the fathers of mankind, beginning from Adam HaRishon, the first man, they all goofed. And because of them, we are here. And because of him, we have to discuss what is my job, what is my thing. Why did they goof? Why did Adam HaRishon, was complete as complete could be, all perfect, and why did he ruin that knowingly what I'm going to do now, eating from the tree of wisdom, I'm going to die, the world's going to be ruined, and now we're going to have to go for 6,000 years of developing to reproduce the world, which he had ruined. How come he did it? How could he do such a thing? Question number one. Question number two, I'm lining out a line. Thank you. Avraham Avinu, our father Avraham, when God made a covenant with him, after testing him and made a covenant, he took him out from the world, lifted up above the world, says, see who you are? You're not a part of the world. You're not limited, not to space, not to time. You're eternal. Infinite. And so will be your children. And for your children, going to give the land of Israel. We also going to be infinite people. We also unlimited. Nobody, we're non-destructive. Nobody could destroy us. I mean, anyone who just looks at history, there wasn't a nation who was so pursued and prosecuted as the Jewish people from the beginning of their conception as a nation. As small they were, as weak they were, strangers in all over, they were always prosecuted, and we're here. We're here like showing no weaknesses. You know, the famous quote from Mark Twain, when he speaks about the Jews, and he says, if statistics are right, the Jewish people are less than 1% of the world population, but the most heard of, the most popular, the most... And they had given the greatest contribution to the world in all areas of life, in science, in medicine, in art, in all places. They were the biggest contributors to the world, you know, even today. The proportion of the Nobel Prize winners of Jews to the rest of the world is 30, 40 fold, according to the population of the Jews, where they are. And then he says, he was always fought by all the greatest empires, by the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the Greeks, and the Romans. And Jew always had to defend himself with his hand tied behind his back. Always. Till recently, they had the Holocaust, the whole world against, ganging up against us. And then he continues. All of his oppressors are gone. Where are they? Where is the Greeks? Where is the Babylonians? Where is the Egyptians? Where they are? Where are they? And the Jew is here as he ever was before, showing no decayness, no weaknesses. He's here with his culture, with his religion. He's here. As small he is, and minute he is here. No one's capable of destroying it. And then he proposes a question. Everything is mortal, but the Jew. What is the secret of the Jewish immortality? What is the secret? But that's a reality, it's a fact. And that was a promise that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, you're not a natural person. Listen, you walked out of the fire first. Is that natural? No. Avraham Avinu went through, he won the wars, everything which was a supernatural way. So you're above the world. You're not limited to nature, not limited to time, not limited to place. And Hashem says, so will be your children to the end of the days. And here we are. And we are the greatest testimony. Here we are. We survived everything. Here we are. Then Hashem promises to him, your children will inherit this land. They're going to get the land of Israel. By the way, what is the land of Israel? What is the significance of Israel? The Israel is the capital of the world. Okay, when America wants to conquer Russia, you don't have to conquer the whole Russia. You got Moscow, you got the Kremlin, you conquer the country. And it's a matter of time, you take out the small places. Every country has its capital. Once you conquer the capital, you conquer the country. The capital of the world is Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael. And the one who has it, he controls the world. He owns the world. And therefore, everyone is fighting over Jerusalem. Why? Because that's the capital of the world, really. It's not a coincidence that the Arabs are crazy, dividing Israel, Jerusalem, giving and not giving. What business do you have with Jerusalem? Every religion, every domination has a church over there, has a certain holding into Jerusalem. So Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, the Zaracho Etenesor, so your children are going to give over the world. The world. The world belongs to your children. Here Avraham Avinu speaks up, says, how do I really know that my children will really inherit the land? How do I really know? Big question. You're questioning God? God is promising. What are you questioning? Before the words before, the Shem is promising you're going to have children. He believes it. You're going to have children. He didn't question God. And when Hashem tells him, but your children are going to inherit the land of Israel, they're going to get it, then how do you know? So there's many answers to how do you know which marriage you're going to do it, and so on and so. So Hashem responds, you ask, how do you know they're going to inherit it? Yodeya teida. You will know, and you're going to be, you know, and you will know. And he shows them, and he gives them a whole spiel, a covenant. Take three cows and three calves and three goats and in Egram Mishulash. The whole covenant, the Brisbane of Somi, the covenant, and he cut off the animals in two halves and so on and so on and so on. So, says the Medrash, everything which God told him to take was symbolizing all the goals which we are going to. We went through to four exiles. Egram Mishulash is the Bovel, the calf is the Bovel, Eiz Mishul is the goat, is Yovan. In everything as a isle, the isle is Greece. Toiv v'goizel and the dove, the bird is Edom, the final thing which we are in. So Shem showed to him all the exiles we're going to go to the last of the days. Because he asked, how do you know we're going to make it? But in the end, we're going to make it because we're going to go to and we survived. You know, we went to all exiles, the four exiles we went to. Here we are. As we always were. Where are the exiles? Where is Edom? Where is Rome? They're all gone. Where is Christianity? It's empty. Nothing. Here we are with the full Yiddishkeit, the full thing, everything. Yeah. We are here as we everywhere were. We are here as everyone here. Now, when Hashem shows, when Avraham Avinu asks Hashem, how do I know that they're really going to inherit this land? And Hashem says, did you know what you do? You questioned me? You know what your children are going to go through? They're going to go to all the four exiles. They're going to go to, and Hashem showed them even the fires of Auschwitz, of everything. Avraham Avinu didn't took back. He said, oh, please, God, please start praying for us. Please, God, forgive me, ask this question. We don't see that. For Saddam, he was praying. Hashem wanted to turn around Saddam. He was praying for Saddam. Please save it. He caused us, that we going through all the thousands of years for Galut, of suffering, he caused it because he questioned God. And never see that they ever ask Hashem, please forgive me. I made a mistake now. He liked it. So let me see. Other Mauritius sinned, because of that we are here, dying, suffering, and developing the world, rectifying what he ruined. Avraham Avinu asked the question, how are they going to inherit them? We are here in suffering and so on and so. Now, the third was Yaakov. When Yaakov goes to build the Jewish nation, goes to marry, so we all know the story, he went to sleep, and he was sleeping, and he dreams. What does he dream? In the Sulam Utsavar, he sees a letter, grounded on ground, Rosh Megir Shemaim, we're reaching heaven, we're Melach Elokim Oilim Yodin, and the angels of God go up and down, go up and down. And he saw, we know the dream, says the Medrash, what did Hashem show him? Melach Elokim, the angel of God, is a Saroi Shel Bovel, the representative of Babylon, Oile, rises, dominates the world. Yodin, then he comes down. All of them had risen, and they come down. Sarah Shel Modai, Oile Viyode, they come up and down. Sarah to Greece, Yoba Oile Viyode. Then he shows himself, Shel Edom, yes, a whole, I'm not going to in detail. They all came up, and eventually all fell down. Says Hashem to Yaakov, Af Atuale, rise, take control, rise. So Yaakov answered, Keshem She'ilu Yerida, Gamliel. They all four previous, they all rise, and then they fell. So if you're going to rise, what's the point of rising? I'm going to fall too. Says Hashem to him, listen to the words of the Medrash. Im ato oile shuv enato yoret. If you rise, you go up there, you're never going to fall. You made it. You made a tikkun. You made a complete of the world. Says the Medrash, loy hemim v'loy ola. Yaakov didn't believe and didn't go up. He refused the invitation of God. Says Hashem to him, now that you didn't believe me and you didn't accept my offer, didn't go up, your children are going to suffer, go to all the four exiles. So we see as other Mauritian sin, because of that we're here in trouble. Avraham Avinu, because he asked the question, therefore Hashem shows him what we're going to go to because of that. Yaakov, when he gets the invitation, you rise, he wants you to rise, you're never going to fall. He says no. He didn't believe, he didn't go up. And here in this expression, Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. And I put it together, this expression. Yan, Hashem says to Moshe, I told you to talk to the stone, you hid the stone, because you did it, you're not going to enter to Israel. And Hashem said, Yan lo himantim bi, you didn't believe me like Hashem to sanctify me. Almost the same language as Hashem says to Yaakov, Achshav shlo himantim li, you didn't believe me, you're going to go and call us. And we all know it's being brought down in Kisvarim, in the previous, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have brought us into Israel, we would have never been deported, but it would be the Tikkun Olam. We would have made it. So obviously here we see, unbelievable, you see four Ovois Olam, four fathers of the world, Odom Merishon, Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe, they did something, and because of that we're in trouble. Why? Why? And we always have to learn, it's a very important thing, we always have to learn, what do we benefit from? What does God benefit from it? From our suffering, from our struggle. Because if there is a mitzvah b'tzedek, I think we spoke about it yesterday, you have to judge every person favorably. If it's a righteous person, try to do it favorably. How much more we have to judge favorably Adam, Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe? How could they make such a cardinal sins? That is all affecting us today. And we have to judge favorably HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't Hashem know what he's doing? Why do we have to go through? And the answer to that is, the positive answer to that is, they wanted exactly, as before, why Yaakov didn't go up. Because if he would have taken up the invitation from God, would go up, he would have made a teaching, where would I be? I would have no lecture to give you. You wouldn't be here. You all would be finished. Hashem wants everyone to have a share in the creation. Other Mauritian, if you would have made it, if you wouldn't have eaten from the tree until Shabbat, the world would be completed. So I will be enjoying it. Where am I? Where is my position? If Avraham Avinu, when Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, Zaracho Eten Esoritz, I'm going to give you children this land, the world, as we said before, he said, how do I know they're going to inherit not my privileges, my merits, they're going to privilege my personality? You gave me a gift. Says, yeah, Avraham. He gave me a father, Terach, an unbeliever, an idol worshipper, a came into a generation, the whole generation goes against you, and he gave me an opportunity, I should self-discover you, self-sacrifice myself. It's me giving it to you. You're promising my children they're going to inherit my privilege, my merit. Where are they? I want my children to go through in my footsteps of me. I want them to be deprived of everything, and they should, everyone has to fight on their own to make it. I don't want to do. It's like this, a smart, rich man who has only one son, is a multimillionaire, a big businessman. If he's smart, he knows very well that the minute he dies, his son is going to inherit all the money, but he never worked for that, he never hustled for that, he's going to lose it 1, 2, 3, because he never worked for that himself. It's a smart businessman, what is he doing? He's preparing the son, he should be able to inherit everything which he has to offer. He shouldn't goof, he shouldn't lose it. So first he puts him in business. He gives him $100,000, he puts him into business, says, learn, hustle. He busted the business, he went bankrupt. He learned the lesson. And he gives him again $100,000, busting it again, until he made it. And he made it, and I could take the whole money. The world is a business, it's God's business. God wants to give us the whole business. He says, you have to earn it, you have to deserve it. So he allows you to bust them. He gave you the first temple, the first Bismarck, the second Bismarck, we go up and down. We're busting it all the time. But finally, after the four goals, and after we learned our lesson, here we are. Now, I'm not talking to you crowds, you guys sitting here, but let's analyze what's going on in the world. Obviously, you see, there isn't a place in the world today, there isn't a location today where you don't find new, fresh, crispy Jews. Self-discovered Jews, Baal Shuvas, Dafke young people, the one who the farthest away, the most alienated, the one who were never guilty of leaving Judaism because they never knew anything, going with generations of assimilation. What makes people to come back? That was exactly what our forefathers wanted for us. He wanted, my children should see Mashiach, not because they're children of Avraham Avinu. If the lineage of all the righteous people of the previous generation would never been broken, and I am who I am, it's not my credit. I have a wonderful father, grandfather, gave me a father, we never broke it. He said, you have to break it. You have to rot away. You have to disappear. You have to disintegrate into the world. You have to assimilate. And it's a process of the four goals. So when Hashem promises Avraham Avinu, he gives him a covenant that eventually we're going to make it. Aaron says, fine, I don't want them to make it because of me. I want them to make it because of them. That everyone should be an original Abraham. That means you should have a father no good, a society no good, and he comes forward himself, suffering himself. Same thing Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, go take the stick and speak to the stone. If you would obey Hashem's order, he would have brought us in. He would have brought us in. We wouldn't have today to fight to get our homeland back with Mashiach. We would never be deported. We'd never be thrown out of there. It would have been already taken. So it comes out, there are all those great people. And this was one of the calculations for Adam HaRishon was to. Adam HaRishon wouldn't have sinned. All humanity would have been perfect. But not because they made themselves perfect. Because Adam HaRishon made it. Our forefather made it. So he purposely goofed. He says, I ate and I'm going to eat again. Because I want to give an opportunity for every single human being in this world, he should come back to Hashem on his own choice. If we have billions of people, Gentiles, they don't convert. They have a right to stay out there. You have a right to stay there. Is any Jewish alienated Jew to the assimilated Jew responsible for his assimilation? He was born into the situation. So, in order you become, you come back on your own, and that's exactly what they wanted. So when Hashem says to Yaakov, Afato Alei, you rise, means to say you made a ticking. He says, if you rise, you're never going to fall again. Says the Medrash, Lohemin, he didn't believe, it didn't come up. I mean, he didn't believe. He didn't want to force on us the belief. I don't want you to be a forceful Jew. I want you to be a self-made Jew. I want you to develop your own belief. I want you to hustle. I want you to struggle for that. And that same thing was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu had the same thing. So we have to tell them, thank you. If they wouldn't have goofed, I wouldn't have nothing what to do today. Now, in reality, we're very far from them. They were a million times bigger people than we are. Obviously, by Hashem, the appreciation to God is not how much you deliver. The appreciation to God is under what circumstances you deliver. Your little child, your little infant, we have no comparison to the previous great people. I mean, we have no idea who the great generations were in the previous generations. We were so far away from them. But even then, we could be more important than them. Because the appreciation that Hashem has to us is not what you deliver, where you're disconnecting. So therefore, the first recorded Nisayon test which Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu, what was the first recorded? Lech lecho me'artzuch u'malatoch be'sovicho. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, lech lecho, go away from yourself. Go away from yourself. Give up of yourself. Malatoch, from your birthplace. Be'sovicho, from your parents, from everything. Leave, 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 leave. Where to? No address. Al ones hashereko. To the land eventually I will show you. I will show it to you according how much you leave behind. In other words, when we're going to get our land, our means the ultimate tikkun, how much will we enjoy, how much you give up for that, not how much yet you earned. Nobody could embrace Hashem. Nobody could embrace God. How do you embrace him? The Dov Kubai. Cleave to him. Embrace him. How can you embrace him? Who is God to you? The answer is, go away from yourself. According to the level that you go away from yourself, you don't rely on you. Become totally dependent on God. Lech lecho, go away from yourself. Melatecho, from your birthplace, from your support system. Trust God. Go after him. According to what you're leaving behind, according that, you're going to... I will show you. I will identify for you. This is your land. How much will be my land? How much will it be my? How much had you left behind? How much were you willing to leave behind? And therefore, there was never in history such a generation. It's my statement, it's one man's opinion, you don't have to accept. But if anyone knows history, Jews were never so well off in all areas as Jews are today. We always have been officially persecuted, officially, Russia, wherever they were, Romans, you learn Torah. Nobody would any government today dare officially discriminate against us because of religion? No way. Not even Iran. In Iran, you have yeshiva, Talmud Torah, yeshchita, everything says, we're not against you Jews practicing religion. Don't be a Zionist, don't go Israel, the Palestinian problem, political problem. But even religious still there. Nobody dare today officially prosecuted because we are religious. As all along history, we're always prosecuted because of our religion. Don't learn Torah, they burnt our shasas, everything. We were always locked up in a ghetto, expelled from countries. Today, democracy, freedom of speech. You go to prison by officially anti-Semitism. Jews are involved in every politic, in every business, wherever there's something goes on, Jews are there. Is there any, you feel discrimination? Of course there is, of course you're being hated. But at least officially, you could reach any place. We almost had a Shomer Shabbos vice president. Remember, Lieberman? We almost had a Shomer for our vice president. Obviously, a black guy is still better than a Shomer Shabbos guy. So we have Obama now today. Okay. It's unbelievable. Jews, you travel over, you go. I mean, you don't feel the galut. There was never, and Jews are rich. I mean, you take all statistics in every country. Jews had the highest level of performance of business successes and so on and so. Jews were never so welcome, accepted all around the world as today. You have multi-billionaires, frum Jews, all kind of Jews, and nobody would say boo. You could dress, you could do anything what you want. What happened? Why? Is this a preparation for Mashiach? What is there for us to offer? The answer is, now to leave behind what the world has to offer you and cleave to God, you proved yourself. Of course, when I was in the camps, in the Holocaust, and we yelled to God, I always say, when we were hiding out as Gentiles, we were hiding out as Nazis. Officially, we had Nazi documented that we are a member of the Nazi members. My father was official Nazi, hiding out, yeah? But nobody, and we were out for it, we were living like Goyim. We had a dog, we did everything like a regular goy. Even if we kept every mitzvah, Shabbos, everything. Nobody ever had to warn us, make sure don't become a Nazi. You couldn't become a Nazi. You know exactly. So even I wanted to, I couldn't become a Nazi. Today, make sure don't become a goy. Don't get lost in assimilation. because the goy marries you, takes you, makes visits, invites you, dines you. You don't feel discrimination. So what is going on here? Is this Mashiach? You make a living, you have vacation, you could travel, you could do. In any given situation, there was never Jews as good as we are today. And I always say, you know, we all have a concept of a Shabbos goy. You know, Shabbos goy was always part of the Jewish constellation, right? Shabbos goy, yeah? Did you ever find a Christmas Jew? Did you ever heard of a Christmas Jew? Who is cleaning the bathrooms? Goyim. Did you ever find Jews cleaning their churches? The bathroom of churches? Never. Even the worst time. We were always on top. But today, it's open free. What's going on? And the answer is, as I said before, for me to make Mashiach and to earn my land because I worked for it could be two ways. What do you deliver or what are you giving up? So if our marriage would be based, what do I deliver, who we are, who are we? Could anyone compare himself to Rashi, to the Rashba, to the Vilna Goy, to Abba Shem Tov? Forget it. They didn't make Mashiach. You're going to make Mashiach? We have no idea who they were. They didn't make it. Rebbe Akiva didn't make it. We're going to make it. Why should we make it? What do you have to give? But when we say, you're not making it because what you give, you're making it because what you give up, wow, there was never a time the whole world is in your hand. You have a palm. You have the internet. The whole world comes to you. You could enjoy every component of the world has to offer. All the pleasure, all the movies, all the things, all the filth, all the garbage. You could get to the chat room. You could interact. You could do what you do. You're not being discriminated. The world is open for you. No embarrassment. Nobody knows where you are. The whole world is to your disposition. And why are you giving it up? Because you don't want to cheat on God. God, I'm coming to you. I'm giving up the whole world. You make Mashiach. And that's exactly what they made. Adam Marishan sinned, and because of the result of his sin was, the world fell apart, and we are in the muds, and we have to struggle to build it back. How do you build it back? Leave. Avraham Avinu, Hashem said, Lech Lecha, go away from yourself. Malatocha, from your birthplace, from your parents, from your land. Leave. Where? No address. El Oretz Asher Eko, to the land which I will show you. I will show according to where you live. What are you giving up? So, if that's the case, we are the richest generation that we deserve in merit to see Mashiach more than any previous generations. Because today, I could be a part of the world. And to make it even more complicated, you could even technically be a nice religious Jew. That's even a harder thing. Because unfortunately, today, there's a big segment of called modern orthodoxy or left wing, whatever that is, who lekatchila teach you there's nothing wrong to enjoy both worlds. Take full advantage of what the modern world has to offer you in the halachic parameters. Why not? Is there anything wrong? And that's loyalty. Message, you're going to date, you're going to get married. Okay? You're going to date a girl, you're crazy about her. She's wonderful, she's nice and gifted and everything. You're willing to finish the shidduch, ready to get engaged. But then she gives her notifications. Listen, I have my social life. I have my friends. Don't interfere with my social life. I'm going to give you what you deserve, but I'm still sticking to my social life. And I need my private social life too. Will you ever take this girl? You wouldn't take her. That's exactly what we do. We change to Hashem. Okay, we're going to do Shabbos and keep tefillah, we're going to do. But I have my social life too. Stay out. So Hashem, you're cheating on me.
Well, you shouldn't take a girl like that?
No.
Why not?
Why would you take it?
Because she wants her social life.
She wants her social life, then she's not with you.
But
you have to become.
She
could have her friends, but together with you. Not a private social life. If she has a private social life in the past, say, no, you won't. If your wife's going to say, listen, I'm together with you 22 hours. 2 hours, I'm totally on my own. Don't even know where I am. I have my own private life. You're not going to take her.
So she can't go to a friend's house and just like...
I'm sorry, she could go, but not abandoning you. But when she... The Chovis Havova says...
So you have to go along with her to her friend's house?
No, don't have to go. Just don't marry this woman. Once you're stuck in it, you're stuck. You have a problem. Okay.
No, what? Like, okay. For
real? Yeah. I'm not talking while you're married already. Then you're stuck with her. But before you're married, you're not going to marry. If a woman says, "I'm willing to get married to you 99%, 1% I keep to myself," don't marry her. It has to be 100% marriage. If she's not willing to devote 99%, forget it. The fact she doesn't deliver, she takes her jihad and leaves 50 is also good. But the commitment has to be 100%. Commitment has to be 100%. And therefore, when the world has so much today to offer, the Chovetz Chaim says, there's no two loves in the heart of a person. There's no room for two loves. Either you love me totally, when I could say, "Hashem, I love you 99%, but 1% I love something else too," it's not love. It's not connection. Not connection. And today we love so many things. You know, we love our refrigerator, we love our pizza, we love our business, we love our vacation, we love our golf, we love our basketball. There's so many other loves that we indulged in. It's such a hobbies to give up something for God. Now, it does not mean God says, "Don't eat pizza, don't rape the refrigerator, okay, you're sick, you're doing it," but don't be in love with it. If you love it, you're competing with me. You're totally devoted to me. And there was never a time in history that Jewish people are so much involved in the world, so much a part of the world, that the world has so much to offer to you, and you think that you could have both. You could have Hashem, you could have the world too. Why can't you be? And it's official being actually given to us. We never had such a good time. You could get everything what the world has to offer and still be a nice religious Jew and get married with all the things. But I'm going to throw a very hard line on you. If you remember, when Avraham Avinu went to complete his final test, what was his final test? Hashem says, "Take your only one son, Yisroel." Right? Why was that such a terrible test? The first test of Avraham, according to most of the commentaries, was when he was willing to go into the fire furnace. He was giving up his life. Okay, God saved him. He didn't know it's going to be saved. The first test of the loyalty of Avraham, a connection to God, was, "Are you willing to give up your life?" That was the first test. And he did it. And lech lechu ben your parents, and so and so and so. Then finally, Hashem promised you're going to have a son, Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is going to be the continuation of the Jewish people. And he's going to inherit the land, his zarach, and so on and so on. So give him the promise, everything which we are, Meretz Hashem, soon going to see the promise fulfilled, Mashiach, having the world. Finally, one day, Yitzchak's 37 years old, is not yet married. Hashem says to him, "Kim nisus Avraham," Hashem is testing Avraham. "Kachnos bikos kivita es Yitzchak asher after," take him only once with your love, and take him one of the mountains and give him up, slaughter him. And Avraham Avinu does it. So actually, what is the big test? The first test, he gave up his life. And the answer is, test is not how hard it is. Nothing is hard, if you know why you're doing it. Test is when you have questions and you don't ask questions. If question, when Avraham Avinu discovered God, and so the whole world goes against God, and he decided, "I give my life after my discovery," that's not such a big test. There's many crazy guys out there in the Far East to kill themselves for their beliefs. They kill themselves for their suicide. Take the Arab, the jihadin. They kill themselves. So if Avraham Avinu was a jihadin, was a Taliban, he decided God is God, he's willing to die for that. That's the big test. He's sacrificing himself for his belief, for his discovery, for his opinion. I always say, I think, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I'm not so well versed in past the, you know, you remember the today's outlaw, the duel. Remember, it used to be in Europe, I call you on a duel.
No,
a duel. A duel. I call you on a duel. Today's outlaw, right? You're not allowed to. Okay. What was a duel? Since when is it outlaw? Since when? What is it? Some sugar. Man is crazy. You know, there were the dignitaries, the high affluent people. One offended the other, and they got angry. "You offended me. You buried me. I call on you, duel, you know? And he gets up with his sword, he gets up with his sword. Everyone is now looking, and everyone got like a bullfight, you know? Are you crazy? You're gambling your life up? And the family of the man stands around them and say, yeah. He insulted you. Yeah, call him a dude. They take a 50% chance to kill or to be killed. It's a 50-50 chance to kill or to be killed. They are crazy. Yes, he just sacrificed himself for their own honor. You offended me. And if I can defeat you, I don't deserve to live. I'd rather die. I can't stand the embarrassment you offended me. Giver, arrogance. I'd rather die. So what's the big deal? Avraham Avinu was called to the duel with Nimrod. Duel was an iron guy, it was a goddess guy. So call him duel. So tell him to go to the fire furnace. What's the big thing? He called him in a duel. He's willing to take a 50-50 chance. Who is winning? That's such a big test. But after when Avraham Avinu grew and he got Yitzchak, all the miraculous son and everything, Shem says, now one nice day, Shem says, everything is over. I'm disappointing you. When you're confused, when you have questions about God, that's a test. And not ask a question. You're loyal. So therefore, the hardest test was the 10th test. Where all the promises came true, and all of a sudden Shem says, pulls back. He didn't ask any question. He did it. Avraham Avinu did it, went into it. There's a lot of questions to be asked. And I'm going to answer my answer. You know, the people who went to the Holocaust. I don't blame a person after the Holocaust. He lost his family. He saw with his own eyes that his wife and children were killed in front of him. And he got so angry. He says, God, where are you? How could you do such a thing? And he questioned God. I could understand he questioned God, unfortunately, because this was his test. And test is when you don't understand God, what he's doing. But, so, what my father, with my parents or myself, and I saw the same thing in front of my eyes, people being killed left and right, and I didn't question God, and we continued to be religious. Very nice. Because he decided, you know, where are you going? You're going to give up on God. You're going to be better off. I had once a debate. How could you believe in God? You know, I did this and this and this and this. Look what happened to this and this. How could you believe in God? I said, okay, so what is your conclusion? Because this and this and this had happened, therefore there is no God. Fool who you are. If there's no God, you haven't got anyone to blame. Hitler is not here. Hitler is not here. I can't afford to give up on God. He says, God, you did it. You made it to happen. And if you made it, you are here. One day you're going to answer it. One day you're going to get the answer. But if you're getting angry at God and you're denying him, he doesn't exist. So he did it. So go to Hitler. Ask him, why did you do it? You're never going to get an answer. I'm expecting an answer. I'm saying God did it and everything. So I'm trying to say, the fact that I remained religious after seeing the Holocaust, because I'm smart enough that you haven't got way to run and I can't afford to give up on God. He says, you did it. And I know one day they're going to get the right answer. It was an operation, it was a surgery, and here we are because of that. Okay, it's painful, but I don't run away from him. But today when you ask a guy, why should I give up the world? What's wrong in watching a clean movie? What's wrong to be a part of the world when the world offers evidence of democracy, freedom of the world? Why are you waiting for Mashiach? Is there anything wrong with it? That's a big test. Because you have a real question. And some people say, look at Chila. Yeah, that's the right way of doing it. Yeah, take advantage. It's going to be respected by the Gentiles. You know, you have the best of this world, plus you have the world to come. Isn't it the Kiddush Hashem? We have a big politician, Shomer Shabbos. We have a vice president, Shomer Shabbos. People were so proud. You know, a vice president candidate was elected to Shomer Shabbos. And everything was showing up. He went into the shul. He had the biggest honor. Now, how did Avraham Avinu teach us? When Avraham Avinu goes to make the 10th test, which is the conclusion of his greatness, Umat Bekulah, that was the final test. He made it. Says the Pesuk, he went to make the test. V'yikach ha'shneinu or avitoy. V'yashkim Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu gets up in the morning and he's going to go do the job. And he goes up to do the job. V'yikach shneinu or avitoy, took his two servants with him. Okay, who were the two servants? Eliezer, Ishmael. You know who they are? They are today's two opponents of God. Goik and Mogoik. Arrogancy and Taiva. Gaiva and Taiva. Knan, Eliezer is Qur'an, is arrogancy, kfira, denial of God. Yishmael is promiscuity. Those are the two forces who compete with God. Arrogancy and promiscuity. Those are the two. And this is symbolized in Canaan, which is Edom, and Yishmael. Those are the two forces who compete with God. So Avraham Avinu, he discovered Hashem. He didn't discover it if it's only for me. I'm going to bring back the whole world to you. I'm going to subdue to you these two evil needs, and I'm going to make them all surrendering to you. They're all going to be given this over to God. So Avraham Avinu is getting an invitation for Kodesh Baruch Hu to make the final test. I'm going to slow the Yitzchak for Hashem. There's no me. There's no ego. There's no I. I give everything up to Hashem. He took his two servants with him, teaching him, as Mashiach will be, that the whole world will recognize a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He goes to make it, and he does not do it for himself. He does it for the whole world. Because our job as a Jew is not only ourselves, is to bring the whole world, because we all come from one man. We all come from one Adam Rishon, and we're responsible for every creature. For every creature we're responsible. I used to tell you the story, so the first trip, and the first time when I ever came down to South Africa, one of my first trips many years ago, somebody drove me, I came to an intersection, was standing a certain creature, and I couldn't figure out, is it a gorilla or a human being? I couldn't figure out, what is he? He was dressed like a human being and a face like a gorilla. And asked the driver, what is this creature? He said, he's a Zulu. And I looked at him, and I felt sorry for him. And I was about to tell my driver, do you know, me and this Zulu, we come from the same man. Hashem did create white, black, and Zulus. We all come from automation. To my own fortune, he remained so unpolished. Why did I come? Why was I privileged to get where I got? You're not. I felt sorry for him. Avraham Avinu felt sorry for every human being. Avraham, when he discovered the God, he discovered the potential of every person that you had, Tzelem Elokim, the image of God. That Zulu is a potential of image of God in himself too. I bet you if I bring him into Al-Sumayach and I feed him and I wine him and dine him, after 3 years he's going to be a very nice black Jew. You could polish him. if you bend the knee and says, you don't deserve Armenians, we all come from another, that's Mashiach. The whole world, love the Shemech, we sing it every davening, right? How do you conclude three times the davening? You sing Goreinu L'Shabeach. What do you say? Therefore, Hashem, we hope forward soon to see the beauty of your greatness, having to remove all the evil from the world and to break all the evil of idols and to cure the whole world with the kingdom of God. V'chol b'nei boson, all human flesh, that Zulu, Yikiru b'shmech, should call out in your name. Laf l'sech kodesh, should bring all the wicked people back to you. Yikiru v'yed kol yashasev, everyone should recognize you. K'inchot tichrak, everyone should bow down to you, to surrender to you. That's our job. It's not only me. We all come from that place. That was Avraham Avinu's job. That's what we took on. We have two functions. First, yourself, and then bring the rest of the world. Therefore, why are we dispersed all around the world? Why are we all over? Why are we in every business? Because every guy somehow, some way, gets to know a Jew. Either he stole from him, either he robbed him, or whatever, he took advantage of him. Every guy has something to do with Jews. You have to do with Jews in order that we should be advertised as the ambassadors of Hashem. So when Hashem gives the invitation to Avraham Avinu, gives him a final test, the Akedo, Avraham doesn't go along. Vikash Neor takes his two servants with him, Yishmael and Edom. Canaan and Yishmael takes him with him. Because he wants to teach him, you're going to see that I'm connecting to Hashem, witness it. As Mashiach will come, all the God will witness who we are. Okay? No, he has a good intention. However, God didn't accept him. What has happened? Yom HaShlishi, he goes already for 3 days. Avraham was never accustomed to go for 3 days. Chazal tell us, Mesil Shom brings down wherever Avraham went to the desire of Hashem, Kaftel Oretz. The earth came forward to him. Because when you do the desire of Hashem, the whole creation works along with it, contributes to that. Eliezer Eved Avraham, the servant of Avraham, when he went to find a match for Yitzchak, Kaftel Oretz. The same day, the same day came in. Here Avraham Avinu is going to make this great reunion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes for 3 days in Yaros HaMokom Erochos. See, the place is still distant away. He wasn't accustomed to that. And the Chazal tell us, the Yetzer Hara came, the Satan came, they made all kind of stumbling, he made rivers and mountains and everything, hardships. He wanted to stop him, he should change his mind. Because he didn't want Avraham Avinu to make the final test. And Avraham lifts up the 30 day, this is far away yet. How should Avraham Avinu react? What's going on here? How come I'm willing to do the Rotzen Hashem, I'm willing to give up my child for Hashem, which is the ultimate reunion with Hashem, and the world fights me off? What did I do wrong? Why don't I deserve to make it? Why is the place so distant away? Listen carefully. So Avraham immediately responds to his two servants, the Eliezer and Shmuel. Shvu lechem po im hachamor. Remain here with the donkey. You stay here with the donkey. Only I, my child, going to go there alone without you. We're going to bow down. And then we're going to come back to you. What the Chazal dashen here? Shvu lechem po im hachamor. Remain with the donkey. Am Hadoy Melechamor, you're a nation who compared to a donkey. You don't deserve it. You're donkeys. Can you convert a donkey? Can you make from a donkey a human being? Now, this humanist, Avraham Avinu, which prayed for Saddam, he hosted the three Arabs, divided them, dined them, as the Torah tells. And he has these beautiful two servants, which, by the way, they were big tzaddikim. Eliezer was the Rosh Hashiva. He knew the entire Torah from his Rebbe. He taught, he gave lectures, he gave shurim. Eliezer was so fulfilled, so elevated, so learned that he really wanted to take Yitzchak for a son-in-law. Yishmoel was also about tshuva. Yishmoel was a tzaddik. He died as a tzaddik. So when he took these two servants to do this great avoider, to witness, I'm bringing you back underneath the Shekhinah, I make a reunion to Kodesh Baruch Hu, bring all humanity back. That's the way he took it. He had good intention, because that's what we should all try. Every time when you're in public spotlight, you have to behave so that anyone who's in contact with you should come along with you, bring him back to Hashem. Then we have to recite Hashem Shemayim Ve'er, sanctify God's name. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. And it wasn't selfish, you know, I'm going to have a private reunion with Hashem, you stay out. No, he took the Zulus with him. You come with me, witness it, because I'm taking responsibility for all humanity. But obviously, so Hashem is not agreeing with it. For some reason, 3 days, it doesn't make it, it doesn't reach it, and it sees the still away. They understood God is not accepting them. They're not acceptable. Why? Because they chose to remain where they are. Maral says, Amadoy Melechamor is a nation which is compared to a donkey. Chamor doesn't mean donkey, animal donkey. Chamor, the Hebrew word of chamor is materialism. The world has two things. The world is a materialistic world. We all have material parts in ourselves. So anything which hasn't got the tzura, the spiritual counterpart of the material, the neshama, the soul, is only material, has to disappear. Can never be elevated. Because after 6,000 years, the world gets destroyed, but it gets transformed into a spiritual existence, and material disappears. So humanity, except the Jews, also will disappear. That's called Amadei Melechamor. Now, why didn't deserve it? Obviously, they didn't make it. They did not enough learn to be like Avraham Avinu to make it. And therefore, actually, in this parsha, the final test, you find the whole thing, the explanation, what we're going through. We always tried to be super good and super nice, as Shlomo Melech was the first Bessam Mikdash, all the time, to be an example for the Goyim, to be all the Goyim, to be a light for the Gentiles. But if we would have behaved the way we should behave, we would have bring the world back to God. But unfortunately, we didn't. Unfortunately, we assimilated. We went down to the world. We went down to the world. Not only we didn't bring the Goyim back to God, but they took us away down. They spoiled us in such a way, they infiltrated us in such a simulation, that's very hard for us to give up this world. And if you don't give up the world, you're not ready to sacrifice, give yourself over to Hashem, how could Mashiach come? You know what Mashiach is? Mashiach is the ultimate reunion between Chos and Kala. There's Chos and Kala. There's engagement, there's parties, there's gifts, and there's a wedding, there's a dancing, and all kinds. Everyone is there. from the waiters and the bus drivers and the friends and family and everyone dancing and singing the same with the same catering, everything. Everything is there. But it comes the end of the wedding, when the Chosen Kala goes home privately, nobody goes with them, neither parents, neither rabbis, nobody. They're in total isolation. Mashiach is the yichud, where you have to be alone. To make the akedah, to get united with Hashem, Hashem said, I don't want Ishmael there, I don't want Eliezer there, they don't deserve it. If they want it, they have to become it. They have to become Jews. And if they don't become Jews, it's Amadai Melchamo, it's materialism. The whole world is not there. They're also not there. And therefore today, the biggest test which we have, and I don't know why I'm telling it to you, because the Shabbos is having a seminar for from people, religious people, and I'm talking to them. You know what our test is? Are you willing to give up the permissible world? Are you willing to give up the physical, material world, which is not in contradiction to Torah? Nothing wrong. Are you willing to give it up? You can't have two loves. You can't enter the Cheder Yichud. Rabbi Pinkus used to say, the Cheder Chosen Kala comes in, finally they meet together, and they're sitting down, having the break the fast, and now they eat together the first time they're alone, together, locked in a room, and she takes out a magazine. She takes out a magazine and says, what is this? It's a very nice art. It's a kosher magazine, right? It's a Mishpacha, or the Bina. It's a kosher magazine. It says, well, we are together now, you're reading an article. It's a kosher article, but not when we are together. Can we detach ourselves from the world? Aren't we all addicted to the world? Okay, we don't read garbage. Okay, we have Wall Street Journal, or you know, something, science, or whatever. Sugar, what do you have with science? Are you sitting with Hashem? Are you ready to enter into Mashiach? Ready to make it? Are you willing to give up the world? We're not ready to give up the world. We all need our hobbies, all need our things. Of course, I'm going to do the kosher, I'm going to do according to halacha. It's a terrible test. So when, in the Holocaust, when I knew Hashem is there and I didn't understand him, I was practical enough, I haven't got way to run. Hashem is loving me too much, he's not going to let me run. He always pulled me back. Today we have way to run, without even feeling that we're leaving Hashem behind. We have so much side entertainment, which Hashem is not a part of it. We're not violating any laws, we're not violating any Shulchan Aruch, but we have our personal enjoyment. What's wrong? And more people argue it's nothing wrong in it. It's nothing wrong. You know, when you're in the wedding hall, everyone is dancing, so anybody knows who's really, who is who, everyone is dancing. But when you're in privacy with the Mashiach, it's a privacy with Hashem. Terribly wrong. Hashem doesn't want you to bring in any other element. It doesn't want any competition. And this is what Hashem saw, that when Avraham Avinu has good intentions, he wants to bring them along with him to make the tikkun, to make the final reunion with Hashem. And Hashem shows them, you can never bring them along with you. They compete with you. Keep them out. And he got a message. After 3 days, he sees the prince distance away. So Hashem says, we don't need you. We know what? You're material. What is it not material? Is money materialism? And by the way, you could see very much, the most materialistic people are Jews. And between Jews, the most materialistic is after the religious Jews. And between religious Jews, it's after the Hasidim. What's going on? That's what we have to elevate. That is the challenge which we have. Are you willing to disconnect? Now, does not mean Hashem said, I don't want to have a good car. I don't want to have a nice home. But don't be in love with it. Don't be devoted with it. Don't be devastated if you don't have it. Don't be jealous if somebody does. Remember, that competes with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That competes with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's our final test, what you're having today. So therefore, there was never a time that every single individual Jew, one end, you get Kiruv, you get Yeshiva, they teach you Torah, then Shekhanah, whatever it goes like, you know, you could have both, you could go to college, have a career, you can be this. Yes, it's nothing wrong to go to a career to make a living, because you have to make a living, but to make a living, to work for a living is a curse. It's not a privilege. And a curse, you don't take a shir chazanish, you know, take the minimum, what you have to do, you have to make a living. So how do we have to really live? You have to live, not allow anything in the world to compete with your goals. Anytime when the world is competing with your goals, you should know you're being alienated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore today, the challenge that we go through is much harder to succeed than it was in the worst times of the Galut. In the first time when we were prosecuted by the Goyim, I will tell the story. The Klozmer Rebbe, previous Klozel Margaret, the father of today's Klozel Margaret, he was in the camps. He went to he was in the camps, Auschwitz all over. In the final days, before the war was ending, the Germans took inmates from the camps. They were almost dead people, Muslims already, and they brought them to Warsaw to decorate the Warsaw Ghetto, to erase the memories of the Warsaw Ghetto, that it shouldn't be recognized what they had done, the cruelty, brutality which they had done, and turn them into a park, and whatever that is. And it's all for the Jews, after being for years in the camps, and it was before the liberation, they took them quickly, they had to work. It was a very demotivating job. Because beside the point that they had to work hard, said, I have to cover up your crimes, I have to put on cosmetics, create parks out of the Warsaw Ghetto to cover up for the allies, they shouldn't see what we had done. A Jew should do it to cover up for the Nazis what they had done. It's very humiliating. So the Klozel Margaret was working there in Warsaw, was taken to Warsaw, was working there. I was working along with him, an atheist, a Jewish atheist, total secular muskel. And he said to him, Rebbe, no, are you still saying Atu Bachaton, you thank God that you have been chosen? He was so humiliated. He says, no, I said, thank God that you're chosen people. Look what they do with us. Look at us. He said, fool who you are. Only now I thank God that I'm a Jew. Look what kind of pony, what kind of face of the non-Jews. Look what they could do. Look the cruelty, the cruelty. So I'm a Dormele Chamor. Look the donkey. Dafka, when I see what a goy is capable of doing, Dafka there, I am the proud Jew. I'm thanking Hashem that I'm a Jew. So that Klozel Margaret saw his greatness when he saw the cruelty, the ugliness of a Nazi. We don't see ugliness of a Nazi anymore. We don't see it. We whine and dine. We don't see the nice people. The Americans are nice people. Freedom, you know, very, very nice people. And they're going to tell me that they're going to finalize. One of the great rabbis, the brother of the old Gerer Rebbe of the Imre Emes, of the Mendele, the Baby Yad Sheruf. The Mendele was one of the great, one of the brothers of the old Gerer Rebbe, the Imre Emes. He was in the camps, his other brother, Moshe Betzalel, they perished in the camps. He prepared himself, every day was learning with his Talmidim Chassidim, preparing himself how to finally die on Kiddush Hashem. To die happily, not to worry, we're going to Tchias HaMeisim, we have a privilege to be like Rebbe Akiva, we're going to die for Kiddush Hashem, it's a very big privilege. So he learned every day, learned with him the Rambam, Yichus Kiddush Hashem, how to sanctify God's name, how to. Came the final day, final liquidation day, said they were so enthused, in the Mendele, they started running to the gas chambers, like a chosen goes to the chuppah. They were so enthused to embrace Hashem. They were not afraid. My mother, Leah Shopchit, I was never afraid to die. I was fighting to live because I'm mitzvah to live, but die. Who is afraid to die? We go back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Jews believe they know what they're doing. They were never dehumiliated like the Kozman. So they started running, and Mendele, the Rav, was right ahead of them. The Germans went crazy. They couldn't stand the Jew. You can't dehumiliate the Jew. We take him now to the dead, and they're singing, and they're dancing. They can't break him. They were determined to stop them, to start yelling, stop running. You're going to get there. They didn't listen. They were already spaced out. They didn't listen to them. They continued to run. They were determined to stop the whole procedure. So they grabbed a little child from the mother's arm, and they threw him down in front of Remendel, the head of the. Threw him down there. Obviously, he wouldn't step on a Jewish child, so he stopped. Everyone stopped. He lifted the child, embraced the child, turned around to the whole group, and he started talking very calmly. And he says, how does the son know that he's a son? Son radiates, right? How does the son self-convince that he's a son? How does he know it? When he sees people below, can't look in their face, they need sunglasses, then he knows he's a son. Says, Yidden, how do you know that you have an image of God? How do you know that you're reflecting God? How do you know? How are you so sure that you're going to make it that you're the image of God? When this German cannot look the face of this little child, what did the child do to him? Why does he hate him? Why are you going to kill us? Isn't that a proof because with the image of God, they can't look the image of God in his face? Aren't we fortunate? And says, Shreya Matoev Kakeh, fortunate and they start running commitment to you. Isn't that a beautiful line? Said, when do you know that you are a child of Hashem when the goy cannot look in your face? And I say very sadly, where are we today? The God does look in your face, likes you, marries you, interacts with you. Where is the image of God in you? How do we do? How we don't have image of God? All along the Golos, so when we started this lecture, that Avraham Avinu and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, they caused our Golos, because Golos preserved us. When they hate me, I know why to love myself. But when they stop hating me, and say, I love you, we're equal, yes, equal. You know how hard is this to keep up? The other chosen people, you know, how many people are bothered to do a chosen? What do you mean chosen? God is a snide, a racist. And all of a sudden I said, yes, God is not a racist. God chose you only after you chose him. If Avraham Avinu wouldn't have chosen Hashem, Hashem wouldn't have chosen him. Hashem is not a racist. We chose him. Hashem chooses you. So when do you demonstrate today in this modern world that you're choosing Hashem? How? When you have the whole world at your disposition, you have all world available to you, and you're giving up a whole world? Because Hashem, the whole world is fighting you. I'm with you. You chose Hashem. You chose Hashem. Hashem will choose you, and that's Mashiach. Okay? Thank you for listening.